I found greater insight, basira. Later we're going to talk about that. Basira, brothers and sisters, insight comes from above. It comes from Allah. Basira. Greater determination. More attached to the cause. Those mu'mineen and mu'minat who were friends with the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, looking for guidance from the Qur'an, these individuals were very different to those who didn't develop that relationship of friendship with the Qur'an. Number three, ideally, brothers and sisters, you want to start your friendship with the Qur'an from the time that you're young. Now, for you and I, that doesn't mean as fathers, as mothers, well, I'm going to force my kids. You're going to sit down and you'll read Qur'an if it kills you. No. I have to create the grounds that my children love the Qur'an. They need to see me reciting Qur'an, interacting with Qur'an, attached to Qur'an. When they see that, when they see, and this is not something I'm faking that I'm reading, and they see a tear roll down my cheek, or they see me kiss the Qur'an gently, that's when they learn that the Qur'an is holy. But this is something I watched, I learned. When I see it revolutionize your life and change your life. So, it's something ideally though, this friendship, we want to start it while we're young. So for us, our job is to pray to create those grounds, but for a youngster, what happens if I begin my friendship and my relationship with the Qur'an while I'm still young? What's the difference between waiting for a long time? I'll wait till I'm old and gray, and then when I've got nothing better to do, I'll read Qur'an then. What happens if I embrace the Qur'an from early? Hadith now. This is from the sixth imam. The imam says this. Man qara'a al-Qur'an. So whoever recites the Qur'an, again, they're looking for guidance, direction. Man qara'a al-Qur'an. Wa huwa shabun mu'min. But this is a believing youth, a young person. What happens to a young person who reads the Qur'an? Hadith. اِخْتَلَتَ الْقُرْآنُ بِلَحْمِهِ وَدَمِهِ. The Qur'an becomes attached and connected with the person's flesh and blood. Your heart is ready to embrace Qur'anic realities and to see the Qur'an, the world through the lens of the Qur'an more. When you're younger, more when you haven't committed sins, you haven't gotten so attached. That readiness is there. This is a secret now from the Ahlul Bayt. Last question about the Quran. How much Quran should we recite daily? Is there a certain amount that we should be saying, you know what, I'll push myself, I'll make myself. I wasn't as much a friend of the Quran as I should be. How much should I be reading the Qur'an? Here, brothers and sisters, this is now from the Urafa. Brothers and sisters, quality is more important than quantity. Maybe for me, I open the Qur'an, I read one verse. I read two, I read five. But I read it and I enjoy it. Even to the extent the spiritual teachers, those Urafa, giving advice now. Let's say somebody had a habit for themselves. For instance, just as an example, the Prophet tells us that let's say somebody recites 10 verses of the Qur'an daily. Right? Hadith. Man qara ashra ayat. This person, my habit, 10 verses of the Qur'an daily. Fi laylatin. Every night I do this. Lam yuktab min al-ghafilin. This person won't be written down as one of the heedless. Let's say that was my goal, 10 verses, because it increases. There's different effects, obviously, reading more Qur'an is better. But let's say I was a 10-verse person. Urafa now. If I'm starting to feel pressure, so I'm trying to get through, but it's just, I got to get my 10 in, I'm gritting my teeth, I'm not enjoying it at this stage. Less, but enjoying. Friendship with the Qur'an. Now verse of Qur'an. So let's see, brothers and sisters, 73, Surah 73, and it's the last verse. Verse number 20, Surah 73, and verse number 20. It's going to be part of the verse. This is only part of the verse. It's answering that question. How much of the Quran should I be reciting? What about if I spiritually, I'm not feeling that thirsty right now? Yes, I need to read it daily. But for me, let's say I was reading more than that, and I would read it regularly. But today I don't feel like it as much. What does Allah say? Advice from the Urafa? What do they tell us? So this one, let's see if you can find this part of the verse. God says in the Quran, let's see who can find this. Faqra'u, so you plural, recite. Faqra'u ma tayassara min al-Quran. Recite the amount of Quran that is easy. You found it, brother? Alhamdulillah. Any of the sisters, you found it? Okay, so let's say, ideally, obviously more. Maybe I have a routine for myself. Maybe I recite several pages a day. If I find that I can't, tonight is not one of those days, right? Still some is better than none.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my guest speaker, as always, Sheikh Javid. Salam alaikum. And welcome to the program again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Well, like before, we are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But this time, we are going to actually devote a couple of sessions to the rules about mosque. So, Sheikh, let's start with this general question regarding mosques, or basically offering prayers in the mosque. We all know that the mosques, in fact, hold a special place in the minds of all Muslims, right? Yes. It's like the church. Maybe it is not even the similar to the concept of the church for Christians.
Sure.
Because Christians usually, go to the church on Sundays. They don't go there every day. But the mosques are not like this for Muslims. They not only go there every day, but a couple of times a day, right?
Yes,
to offer the prayer with the imam, somebody who's leading the other Muslims in the prayers. So would you tell our dear audience about the importance of this and how important is it for the individuals to basically say their prayers in the mosques rather than individually?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, great emphasis has been laid on offering prayers in mosques. And indeed, mosques are different from in terms of the amount of sawab that you might achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which mosque you perform your prayers, is it, for example, Masjid al-Haram or Masjid al-Nabi or Masjid Kufa or Masjid al-Aqsa or your local mosque or maybe the central mosque in your city?
Yes.
So, of course, the Masjid al-Haram, there's no doubt as to the fact that it is superior to all other mosques. It is the most important mosque. And then comes Masjid al-Nabi, which is the next most important mosque in the Islamic world. And then, of course, we have Masjid Kufa, which is also very well known, especially for the Shias, because Shia Muslims who go to Kufa, they perform their prayers in that mosque because of the tremendous sawab that it has. You earn praying in that mosque. Of course, there's no doubt that if you offer your prayers in Jama'ah, then if all the trees become pain and all the ocean turns into ink, the sawab, the reward cannot be written, cannot be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have the Masjid Jame in your city. Every city has a central mosque.
Yes,
of course the sawab,
like a cathedral.
Yes, the sawab in the prayer offered in Masjid Jame or the central mosque is more compared to the sawab of the masjid of the prayer offered in a local mosque.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that in this time around, of course, unfortunately, we have very few people going to the mosques. And there are hadith traditions from our infallible imams. For example, Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam says, ثَلَاثَةٌ يَشْكُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
مَسْجِدٌ خَرَابٌ لَا يُسَلِّ فِيهِ أَهْلُهُ. One of the things which complain to Allah Almighty is the mosque, in which the people in the neighborhood where the mosque is situated do not go to offer their prayers in the mosque. On the day of resurrection, one of the things which complained to Allah Almighty is the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was there, but no one was coming to me to offer their prayers. Okay, and then there is Alimun Bayna Juhal. And alimun bayna juhal, that the knowledgeable person living among the ignorant people, they do not go to the alim to ask their questions, religious questions, theological questions. And then mushafun muallaqun qad waqa'a alayhi al-ghubar, and then the Holy Quran, which is for example placed on the shelves of your house, and it is there, but it's collecting dust. Okay, so these are the three things which, according to Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, which will complain to Allah Almighty on the day of judgment for not being attended.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, let me stop you there actually for a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program after the short break. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Thank you. The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the general jurisprudential rules regarding praying in the mosque with Sheikh. Sheikh, you were saying?
Yeah, that was my point. And of course, it is very important for a Muslim individual who is adherent, who is a practicing Muslim, to leave the comfort of his house or the couch he sits and go to the mosque.
Yes.
And of course offer his prayers in the mosque. It is not only in the person offering his prayers in the mosque, mm-hmm. not only earn the reward for praying, but he also respects
yes.
the mosque. And of course, وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So one of the signs of God is definitely the mosque. The verse says that whoever builds a mosque, or you see, revives the mosque,
mm-hmm.
it is a sign of iman. You see, it's not only building a mosque does not mean only constructing it. A person who keeps a mosque alive and keeps it moving, acting, visiting the mosque, and the mosque is always remains with visitors, then of course it is a sign of iman in the day of in God and also in the day of judgment.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to offering prayers in the mosque based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh, there is a question, especially we Shias face that, what about the shrines of the imams? Are they considered as mosques, or they need to be actually some kind of pronunciation of some formula for them to be actually considered as mosques? I mean, lots of Muslims, especially from the Shiite school of thought, they go to the shrines and they offer the prayers there, right?
Yes, of course.
So do they hold the same status as the mosques?
Obviously, the namaz or prayer in the shrines of the holy imams is mustahab.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, of course, the reward is much more than offering your prayer in a mosque. For
yes.
example, it has been reported that the reward for offering prayers in a sacred shrine like the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wasalam, is 200,000. Okay, mm-hmm. If you offer one rakat, it is as if you have offered 200,000 rakas.
Right.
So that the reward is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the shrine is not treated as a mosque because they are two different things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you can enter the premises of the holy shrine,
mm-hmm.
the holy shrine, but you cannot enter a mosque and stay there or sit there or leave there, put something there, pick something up from the mosque. But these are the things you can do in a shrine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can enter the shrine, you can enter the for example, the corridors or the porch, but you cannot get close to the to the chamber, okay?
Right.
Especially when it comes to ladies who are menstruating, of course, they should not get close to the zari or the chamber,
right,
as they say.
Okay. What about the yard, for example, of the mosque? I mean,
yeah, depending on where the formula of the mosque has, you know, the mosque applies, okay? If it is part of the mosque and it is considered to be part of the mosque, so the formula applies to it.
Uh-huh.
And it is considered to be mosque. And, of course, the rules which are applied to the very, to the mosque, which is believed to be the mosque, the main part of the mosque, is also or also applicable to that part of the mosque which
I
are.
See.
Yes.
A very quick question, Sheikh, to the end of the program. We don't have much time. What's actually better for a woman to do, like to offer her prayers in a mosque or in her own home?
Well, for women, it is better to pray at such places where they are best protected from non-mahram, from strangers, from people who are considered to be non-mahram, of course, because it's important for the woman to observe their hijab, to dress properly, and it does not make any difference where they can better, of course, observe their hijab. Whether they can observe their hijab at home or in a mosque. And of course, they will earn the sawab, the reward for offering their prayers in a mosque. But hijab is much more important than offering your prayer in a place where you are exposed to the eyes of non-mahram. For example, especially if women offer their prayers in public places, in open places where men who are not related to the woman, you know, pass by, they see the woman, and maybe sometimes there is wind flying, you see, blowing against the woman's well, and maybe part of her hair or maybe neck or legs might become visible. In this case, of course, there is such probability, it is much better for her to perform her prayers in her home rather than coming out to the mosque and offering her prayers in places where she is not protected.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Sabit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to offering prayers in a mosque based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
Migration is everybody's right. All people are free to look for some other places to reach their hopes and ambitions. From long ago, humans have searched for new places where they could live better. Today, you can achieve this aim more easily. People can immigrate to other countries to achieve their goals. Iran is a popular country among immigrants. There are those who may choose this country for their pursuing their education, as well as those who may find it a suitable place to live because of its weather, culture, and civilization.
اسمم فخریه کریم کارادومان هست.
My name is Fakhriye Karim Karadoman and I was born in Azerbaijan, in one of the villages close to the Iranian border. I spent my elementary, secondary and high school years there. Then I went to Istanbul and got my bachelor's degree in Persian language and literature from Istanbul University. After that, I came back to Azerbaijan to get my master's degree from Baku State University. Then I got married. My husband is from Turkey. We've been married for 5 years. We live in Şanlıurfa city. My husband is a policeman. In Turkey, there is a great need for professors of Persian language and literature. So I decided to come to Iran to do a PhD. My father likes Iran a lot. Most of his relatives live here. He's also interested in the Persian language. He wanted to study Persian, but he was not admitted to any university. He teaches history now. He wanted me to study Persian. At first, I only wanted to make his wish come true, but then I myself became interested in Persian.
Fakhriye is a hard-working woman, and Persian has already become a part of her life. She leaves no point unanswered with her questions. She has decided to teach Persian language and culture in Turkey after finishing her studies.
When we were kids, my father taught us Persian alphabet so we could read and write in it. We had learned a couple of words too. He taught us some poems by Sadi. Overall, I was familiar with the Persian language.
کنون ای خردمند وصف خرد بدین جایگه گفتن اندر خورد.
Among our courses, I like epic literature more than others. We studied شاهنامه. I like it very much and it's easier for me compared to the other courses such as mystic, classic or lyrical literature. Shahnameh's language, or indeed Ferdowsi's language, is easy and enjoyable. I bought a CD that reads Shahnameh. Every day I listen to it for 5 or 10 minutes. It's really beautiful.
There are many immigrants in this country. Mrs. Orbadov, a Romanian dentist, is one of them. She is a thoughtful woman, and Islam has been one of her main reasons for immigration. Now it's been more than 15 years that she's been living in Iran.
I always felt I was not satisfied with my life. I mean, I wanted to find something more exciting. It's not enough just to study and graduate in a special major, then get married and have children. I knew there to be a bigger picture. I studied a bit about Asian religions like Hinduism and Buddhism. I also read about Christianity, which is the dominant religion among Romanians, including my own family. These studies were interesting, and I was hoping to find an answer to my questions in books. To be honest, our Romanian religious leaders are more of symbolic figures and do not have much to say in matters relating to religions and science. So I tried other ways to answer my questions. When I was a freshman, I made friends with some Muslim students. I borrowed some books from them. These books were not many because only a few books had been translated into Romanian. They had quotes from Quran and I could find answers to my questions. It was the period of big changes in my life. I read so many books and had lots of discussions with my Muslim friends. By the end of my freshman year, I had already become a Muslim. One of the God's biggest mercies for me was that among my friends at the university, there were Shiites, Sunnis, and Wahhabis. I mean, there were a variety of Islamic sects. My Shiite friends seemed the most rational ones. That's why I became Shia. Considering some concepts like religious leaders and Shiism, I wanted to know if there was a society of Muslims, even small, designed this way. So I decided to immigrate to Iran, and my main motivation was to get familiar with the learn about Shiism. However, I thought that Iran was experiencing its post-war period and had lots of problems. I had read a story from Betty Mahmoudi about Iran. I thought that living in Iran is really tough, like there's no gas pipeline for houses, or I would have to make fire to have hot water to wash the dishes. I thought that the streets are all ruined and buildings are just under reconstruction. But I was really surprised when I came to Iran. I saw that people here are living an ordinary life like in other countries.
Mrs. Orbadov mentions a few facts about her country, including the current chauvinism that has marginalized women and their rights. She believes that in Iran, women can work very easily, just as men can, and they too can claim their rights.
After I became a Muslim, I began to see women differently. As a young girl, I discovered a new image of women. In this viewpoint, women are highly respected. They are valued for who they actually are. All female qualities such as emotions and sensitivity are looked down on in my country. These were considered as signs of weakness, so my friends and I were trying to get rid of them. Instead, we tried to adopt male behaviors and thinking because they were more appreciated.
She lives with her only daughter and her husband, who is studying abroad. She's happy that she has finally found a safe place for her hopes and aspirations.
I was a sophomore studying dentistry. My husband was studying medicine back then. We had known each other before I became a Muslim. He proposed to me after I became a Muslim and we got married. We lived in Romania for 5 years before coming to Iran, and after I got my travel permit, we moved here. Then our daughter was born. She is about 17 years old now. My daughter is too happy about living in Iran. We travel to Romania to visit my family once in a while. My daughter likes both countries. My daughter and I think similarly, and this makes me happy. For example, it could have happened that my daughter did not believe in Islam, but it makes me happy to see that she too believes in it and acts accordingly.
I have lots of friends here in Iran. Iranians are very kind and hospitable. Everywhere I go, I have some friends. Isfahan, Shiraz, Mashhad, Qom, or Kermanshah.
Raja, the Pakistani immigrant, has come to Iran to study art. He's a painting student now. He spends most of his time studying art. Watching other artists' works is his best pastime.
I spend most of my time at the university. I come to the library. I spend time on the campus, which has a nice and beautiful atmosphere. There are only graduate students here, and they are all here to learn. The atmosphere of Tarbiyat Madaris University is nice and pleasant, something I haven't seen elsewhere. I really enjoy reading in Persian. I think Persian has harmony. It has music. It's pleasant to read in Persian and listen to it.
Fakhriye is interested in Persian music and she's been learning how to play daf, an Iranian instrument, since she came to Iran. She has also made a lot of progress. In addition to her Persian language studies, she wanted to have some experiences in Persian music. Every day, Dr. Orbidov starts her work passionately. She cares a lot about people, the people who are now her fellow countrymen, and have become one of the most important parts of her life now. Other than being a responsible dentist, she loves to spend time with her family. She tries to strike a balance between her professional and family life.
I'm a dentist. I'm very busy during most of my working hours. I have lots of patients. In the neighborhood where I work, women and kids prefer to have a female dentist. So most of my patients are women. Some patients have financial problems and thus can't pay. In these cases, all of my colleagues and I treat them free of charge. These are moral issues, and fortunately, we're all willing to participate. We do it together as a team. Generally, I think it is very important not to spend all my time at work, but to dedicate half my day to my family.
اینجان عبدالستار شیخ هستم.
I'm Abdulsattar Sheikh from Pakistan, Sindh province. I had a strict religious and traditional family. Our province Sindh has been home to an ancient civilization. My mom is a housekeeper and my father is a teacher. He teaches English language and sometimes physics. My parents wanted their children to experience an academic atmosphere and go to college. I got my diploma in sciences. My parents wanted me to be an engineer. I was interested in art and I wanted to choose a country with a cultural heritage. India, Pakistan and Iran are Eastern countries with similar cultures. I traveled to Iran once or twice before moving here and I'd seen its academic environment. Iran has a very progressive art, architecture, lifestyle, everything is good.
خیلی چیز از لحاظ معماری از لحاظ ساختمان ها از لحاظ زندگی هر دانشجوی خارجی که ایران میاد اول چون که ما که فارسی که بلد نبودن
Since I couldn't speak Persian at first I passed my Persian language and pre-university courses at Imam Khomeini University in Qazvin First, I finished my Persian language courses and then I finished my pre-university. When you finish your pre-university, you can be admitted to a university. The Persian language course that I took in Imam Khomeini University was really helpful. Then I went to the Faculty of Arts at Tehran University to study for my bachelor's degree.
My husband was here with me when I came to enroll at the university. He stayed with me for 15 days and checked out the university. He's very happy that I'm studying here. We went to Qazvin and Mashhad together. He says that he has no worries about me being here. If it were any other country, he might not let me come. He says that it's safe here. I live in the dormitory. It's located on the campus. We are 12 girls in a dorm suite. They're all doing their master's degree. My roommate and I share a room. She's from Afghanistan. There are three of us in my class. One of us is Mr. Sufi from India. The other is Mrs. Farizeh from Kazakhstan. Most of the times we study together. It helps us a lot. We sometimes ask our Iranian friends who are studying literature to help us. As I mentioned, one of my classmates is Mr. Sufi from India. We study together most of the times. He lives with his family here on the campus. His Persian is much better than ours. I think it's because he has been living here for 8 or 9 years. He's a teacher in an Indian school. His Persian is excellent. He knows a lot, and I use his help.
Fakhriye has some other friends from other countries in the university. Sometimes they study together and help each other. Persian language has become their binding thread.
Thank you. علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
Self-purification is the most significant fact
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
یکی از چیزهایی که در آرامش که محور بحث روانشناسی است.
One important point regarding tranquility and calmness of mind is the concept of confidence and trust in heart. Having confidence has two aspects. One is when we are confident about our surroundings, for instance, the facilities that we use. Another one is when we have trust in our soul and heart in a power superior to us. Both our spiritual and worldly deeds must be done in a proper and confident way.
Once
when the people were burying a corpse, Prophet Muhammad asked them to do the work with utmost care. The people around Prophet Muhammad said, "Take it easy, O Prophet of Allah, since it is only a burial." Prophet Muhammad answered, "Always do your works properly, even if it is a burial procession." This means that all the people must be confident about the work they are doing. Confidence in heart brings about tranquility of soul. Even in terms of business, we Muslims must do our job with utmost care so that our people trust us and our productions. All in all, trust is a good thing and has so many benefits. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
النقي means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdaa al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaik.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety. This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the pure direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the 10th divinely appointed successor. He was the 10th divinely appointed imam. He was the 10th divinely appointed trustee to the final Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. A great number of Muslims believed in the imama of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they found it obligatory upon them to follow and obey Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. A vast amount of legal dues and monies that must be given to the Imam were carried to Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, as he was the financial epicenter of the Shia. And it was partly due to this financial leadership of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam that governmental investigators and policemen reported in detail to the Abbasid Caliph al-Mutawakkil. And so al-Mutawakkil Abbasi was the most bitter enemy of not only the Alawis and the followers of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, but he was a bitter enemy of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam himself. Thank you. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. There's this one dialogue that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has with one of his companions from Ahwaz. Now, this very complex theological, perhaps even philosophical matter comes up, and is something that hopefully we're going to try to cover on the program, even though we don't have a lot of time. Now, this is also kind of a question that many of us ask, even in the present day. And so the question was, does Allah not know what the people will do so that Allah has to try them? Right? So here, the fundamental thing is that we are saying, if Allah knows what the people will do, then why does Allah put them into trials in order for those people to prove themselves? If He already knows, why doesn't He just send them to heaven or hell based upon His knowledge of what these individuals are going to do? So Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he says, yes, Allah knows what these individuals shall do even before what they do. And so here, you know, we kind of think, well, perhaps this is jabr, this is this compulsion, absolute compulsion. But in reality, what's happening is that because Allah the Almighty, in His, you know, all knowledge and all wisdom and all hearing and all knowing, past, present, and future, right, He knows what an individual will do out of their own free will. So Allah knows, for example, what I will do in my life based upon my voluntary and free will choices. It really is a mind-boggling concept, because my free will is something that I, as a, you know, semi-independent existent being, will do right out of my own free will. But despite it being my own free will, Allah knows what I will do based upon my own free will. But still, trials, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he says that these trials are there to show people that Allah is just, and He will put you in the trial so that you yourself make the decision to do good or bad. And then Allah does not punish you because of something that He knows you will do until you do it. And just to kind of wrap up on this point, it's really interesting that Imam Ali alayhi salam says the same thing to one of his companions, right, when he says that Ibn Muljim is the one who's going to kill me. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam told his companion that Ibn Muljim is going to kill me in the future, the companion said, well, why don't you kill him? And Imam Ali replies, he says, he has not committed the crime. And so this is the same thing that's happening here, is that Allah the Almighty, out of His